Ads now.
Capital 263.
Welcome to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263. My name is Christopher Farai Charamba.
And my name is Nomalisa Ncube, the flaming arrow. Where should I set a blaze?
Yeah, today, unfortunately, Henry was unavailable. So I've brought in our resident guest, Nomalisa, to join me. I commandeered her at the last minute. Thank you for showing up.
Yeah.
We needed you. We've also got another guest today.
Very beautiful guest.
Please introduce yourself to our listeners.
I'll just say thank you for having me today. my name is Taro Daphne Senderai. What else would you want to know about me?
Well, let me give her the flair because she's trying to be modest. So, Tari is one of the phenomenal young women of Zimbabwe who's leading an organization called She Votes. No. They're leading a campaign. #SheVotes2018. And the organization is called Women for Women, right?
Yes, solidarity. Yes.
You see, okay, so today I'm surrounded by two beautiful women. Thank you very much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you.
And we'll definitely get into She Votes a little bit on the show, just to talk about what we're going to get into today. We're going to be mentioning Julius Malema.
Obvious.
He's dipped into Zimbabwean politics and he's made some very radical statements that our government was not happy about, and they responded.
That ZANU-PF was not happy about.
Our government. The
Church
response
and the state.
The response came from the government.
The government encompasses ZANU-PF plus other people.
Yes, and they don't know that difference.
Okay, but we'll get to that. And then we're also going to talk about Professor Moyo. He had an interview with The Standard and he made some very interesting remarks. He was quite sour, actually. As he said, I think it's why I won't support Mnangagwa. So he came out and he was very straightforward. It was quite a loaded interview.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, we'll talk about She Votes, very important campaign, I believe. And yeah, that's about it. So let's get straight into it. Remember that you are listening to the best political podcast in Zimbabwe.
I'm happy you're owning it.
Yeah, it is. We've just decided that that's what it is. So, Tari, welcome. You are one of the first guests on the best political podcast in Zimbabwe.
Thank you for having me.
And we're now on iTunes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're now on iTunes.
Happy tuning in for Capital 263.
So please subscribe. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on podcasts, on podcast
Audio Mac,
applications.
Yeah,
Audio Mac
and SoundCloud.
SoundCloud. If you're on Android, download a podcast application, look for Politics and Beyond, and you'll find us there.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so straight up, Julius Malema, he was a lot. Let me actually play what he said so that there's context, so that people actually understand where this all stemmed from.
The AU summit, which is coming, should actually focus on how do we deepen democratic practices in the continent. And how do we avoid long-term presidency and leading to the grave and thinking that the only person who can continue with my legacy is myself and nobody else? You can't even trust your own children. You can't even trust your own wives with your legacy. Only you can carry that legacy. You'll rather hand it over to your children and then we discuss whether it was right or wrong. But is just for you to stay there forever and ever, like we see in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe's situation is bad. President Mugabe can't even control a spade. You know, they were trying to plant a tree. A short tennis. And he can't control that thing. That's how old he is. He's no longer capable of discharging his responsibilities. We don't hate the man. They can respond and insult us anyhow they want. But they are a group of cowards, those comrades in ZANU-PF.
Right, so I'm going to leave it there.
Nice way to end it.
We all got to hear what he said. Basically, that President Mugabe is old, he must step down, and that those who surround him are cowards. Thoughts?
I think I'll have a go at that. When Julius speaks, let me be honest with you, from when I started hearing about him when I was in the youth league in the ANC, I was just thinking this guy is like all over the place. Who's this guy? But with time, I've realized that he's matured and he has become someone who's become more of a revolutionary comrade. I don't lie to you. He has commanded so much respect from me. I don't know about others, but I speak for myself because I've met the man personally. And I was able to attend the manifesto launch that happened in April last year. And the speech he gave was astounding and amazing. For a man who's been in politics for such a short while and for the age that he is, like he's 30-something, I mean, honestly speaking, is one to watch in terms of where he's going to be politically, maybe even in the next 10 years. Because we in Africa, it's rare to find such young, dynamic leaders. But when it comes now to the issue where he commented about us having most probably a life president and that His Excellency should step down, I actually had the opportunity of talking to some people on Facebook this morning about the whole thing. And then some people were saying, who is he? What business does he have in dabbling into Zimbabwe's business? It's none of his business. But it is his business because when it comes to the revolutionary struggle, even when Zimbabwe was trying to liberate itself, we sought solidarity from countries like Zambia, South Africa, and Mozambique. So it's the struggle is a regional thing. It's not just about Zimbabwe. And when he says what he says, at the end of the day, it's his opinion and he's entitled to it.
Yeah, but
she ain't come here will be arrested once. I might in the office of the president.
No, but let me jot in. Yeah, Julius is what, 35?
Yeah.
He's been in politics since, well, he was president of the ANC Youth League in 2008.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So about 10 years he's been
in the circles.
Not in the I think he's been there for quite some time.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
in terms of a position of influence and a position of power. So certainly when he speaks, people do listen.
Of course.
And he has his politics has matured with age, as you do. I hope some of our younger politicians will, you know, mature as well in this arena and not come out and say such. Let's not get into that.
I think you guys have done justice to Julius's personality. But let's talk about the content of what he said.
That's what I want to get to.
Like, for me, I looked at myself. I'm not even a ZANU-PF comrade, but I felt like a coward, guys. But then, and then again, the only time we're going to address this is 2018. So, but in as far as about talking about candidates, do you really need to be told by another guy that, except, bruh, this guy is too old to even drive a bus?
I don't know. It's not like it's something that the ZANU-PF comrades do not know. It's something that they know, but that's not top of their agenda really at the moment because they are pushing their personal agendas within ZANU-PF.
Yeah, but my issue is Julius is saying all these things, right? Mm-hmm. As it stands, President Mugabe was elected by the people to stand for the people until 2018.
Of course, for now, so he's a legitimate president. Yes. And we have to wait until the next election. It's only constitutional that way.
Guys.
No, we have to. Because
a president can retire.
Yes,
did we know that?
But clearly, he can't retire anymore.
And his comrades can say, in the same very way that we think that a 65-year-old plus person cannot drive a motor vehicle, you are 94, and we think that it's best that you rest.
Fine. He's like 9 and a quarter decades old.
Yeah, but then remember, those people used to register late, so we're not even sure if
from the looks of things right now, does he look like someone who's resigning or retiring?
No, he can't anyway. He can't retire. But ZANU-PF would be the end
of it. What I would want to say is, Malema mentioned something about Africa having a problem with people who want to be life presidents. And I'm sure we can just go back to the Yaya Jammeh issue, where he had to, it was a struggle, like, it got to really embarrassing, you know, whereby, I mean, you lost an election, it's time for you to just hand over power to the next president-elect, but then he decides to say, oh, well, no.
We can't avoid that situation anyway. In 2008.
Look, they threatened to arrest Jammeh and send him to the ICC.
But why didn't they just action the threat? Because he was just being hot-headed for nothing.
Look, at the end of the day, if somebody says, I'm sending you to the ICC, then and I still have power, there's a likelihood that I'm not giving it up. But on the issue of Malema and all the things he says, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, who is Malema?
Okay.
What does Malema actually mean to the Zimbabwean voter?
Can
or to
ZANU-PF,
actually? To ZANU-PF as the ruling party who is addressing and calling them cowards. Who is Malema to them?
When Malema was addressing this, the first point, he was addressing the upcoming AU summit. Right?
Mm-hmm.
At the AU summit, Malema is a significant individual in the South African politics that actually influences grossly the AU sitting now.
And also, right. He also derives some of his ideologies from ZANU-PF. An example is he spoke about the land reform program to say that that's one thing that Mugabe was able to do that was commendable. I'm going to be one who'll say the land reform program was justified because we're supposed to give the land back to the black people. But the manner in which it was done in Zimbabwe then is the one that was a bone of contention. But at the same time, he says he looks up to that land reform program for them to also undertake their own in South Africa. And those are one of the ideologies that he has in EFF about land reform and economic emancipation of the black masses.
But my thing is, who is Malema?
Okay, like, as I was still saying who Malema was, is that at his position of speaking was based on the AU summit, right? At the AU summit, we address national issues, and why we actually have this body is because we play a brotherhood congregation to each other. So if anything, it has to be brought to whether it's the AU chair's attention that it is something that we have to discuss. It can't only be Gambia, and because Gambia is up there. In Southern African region, we do have an issue like this. Yeah. We've had people speaking about life presidents, and we do not agree to that.
But
right?
The thing is, right, for me, it's something that, so, look, it's Malema, fair enough.
In context to who he is to the Zimbabwean voter, to a youth like me, best believe, even in the context of whether he's South African, Julius Malema actually spoke something that I wish Psychology Maziwisa would say. I would listen to him. I wish A.C. Lumumba would say. I wish Themba Mliswa would say. Well, he did kind of say it, but he didn't boldly say it. But these are the things that we expect our people to say. But we see people who are, he's pretty much a trailblazer in the Southern African region,
look,
not.
Look, okay,
why we're
enough.
Listening is
I
because,
understand that, right?
You know,
but at the end of the day, it's inconsequential what Malema says.
It's inconsequential too.
I think Farai is right to say that at the end of the day, how does it then impact Zimbabwe, what he said? How does it change the status quo?
Can I just do a quick survey? Are you unbothered about what Julius Malema said?
I think he said what I was thinking.
Are you unbothered about what Julius Malema said?
Very much.
Are you both registered to vote in 2018?
They are registering us in May, so is Zixi's. We are waiting for Zixi to open
so
the door.
So my survey is completed, guys. These guys actually think what Julius Malema said makes sense, which is an inference to half the people that we are concerned about here anyway.
No, but listen, okay, fair enough.
But then now, the response that came from...
Yeah, so.
I think you said, who is Malema like in the Zimbabwean context for? I mean, why should it matter? Why should it bother us? Clearly, ZANU-PF was hot and bothered
so
by it.
Let me get to that.
Yes.
The government responded through...
Let's start with Psychology.
Through Minister Mshoe. Did Psychology respond as
well? Yeah, he's like, we're very much unbothered by Julius Malema. I'm like, I see you sweating in your seat.
And the 8 o'clock news yesterday, actually, they were clear.
He made headline news.
Yes.
They carried...
I just exposed myself not to watch ZBC.
They carried Minister Mshoe, who's Minister of Information, Media and Broadcasting Services, statement. And he goes on, the government of Zimbabwe, it starts, finds quite irritating and uncalled for insulting statements by the so-called economic freedom fighter's leader, Julius Malema, directed at Zimbabwe and the person of President Mugabe. He goes on, he calls him a Gucci revolutionary who acquired the infamy of deserting and betraying politics of liberation as exposed by the ANC. Clearly his inspiration lies elsewhere, and no amount of tapping from the proud record of ZANU-PF and Zimbabweans or invoking the name of our leader and president will grant him even a patina of respectability, whether at home, on the continent or abroad. It's quite a long statement.
Quite long.
We'll share it on our Twitter and our Facebook page for those who want to read it, who haven't had a chance to look at it. For me, I don't think Minister Mshoe should have responded.
Right. Listen, I agree with Farai. If it really didn't bother him or they were not bothered, he shouldn't have responded, one. Two, I also think that if he was responding, I think his response should have been, okay, we are not cowards because... And then he lays it down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, look, wait. But not for you to then go on to attack the person of Malema without using like a contestation of what Malema has said. I mean, it should be about ideas, but then he went on to say, oh, Malema, this and that, he did this, it so fucking what? He did what he did. Wait,
you're so beautiful in your argumentation because it's very clear.
No.
But these politicians don't have time for that. Look,
he said what he said.
Uh-huh.
So at the end of the day, why are they bothered? Let's just be honest, you guys.
I have an interest. Did Jonathan say something about it?
He didn't mention anything. My issue with this whole thing is why I don't think Honorable Mshoe should have responded was because the EFF is an opposition party in South Africa.
Of course.
It's not even the majority opposition party in South Africa.
They only got like 6% of the votes of in the last election. 6%.
Influential. No,
of
I
course.
Agree.
For 1 year in the fray, it's commendable.
Look. It's an influential 6%. But at the end of the day,
it has a non-entity on our very
It wasn't coming from the ANC. If it was coming from the ANC, then you have reason to worry. If it was coming from the ANC Youth League, then you have reason to worry. But for the whole government to go and make a statement to an opposition party, I don't think was right. Number two, on the issue,
we don't think Honorable Mshoe should have taken his position as Minister of Government to make that. We should have had Simon Kayamoyo, Secretary of Information,
doing it. I want to be honest with you, when I saw that statement, I was like cringing and saying, did he really like take time to write that statement?
Like, it was one of his peers.
He should have just kept quiet.
I really think Chipanga, who is the Secretary for Youth, should have made it. Yeah, Kudzai Chipanga should have made a statement, Secretary for Youth, ZANPF, and said, look, the president is our candidate. He's been endorsed by the people. So this is what the people want.
And I want to say to you, you know, EFF is well aware of the response. And if you go on Twitter, I don't want to lie to you, it's a bloodbath. Like, literally, EFF is like hammering.
And
it's
guess
like
what? ANC is quiet, guys.
ANC is like,
they then there was then another statement. Actually, the government should have called the ANC and in South Africa and said, look,
the government should have not done anything because the government is not ZANU-PF. Yes, they are majority in government, but they should have had their spokesperson respond.
But
to
let
that.
Me say this. No.
Let me say this.
This was direct at the president, who is the head of government.
Of course.
It wasn't the first secretary of ZANU-PF. He said President Mugabe. So you're addressing the president, who is the head of government, which is why
ZANU and blurring lines.
Fair enough, but the what they should have done was taken it up with the ANC and say, look, your people out there are making noise. Can you shut them up? Or can you respond to what it is they're saying? If not, they should have dealt with it at party level. That's just my opinion. The EFF then did respond to
another
the letter.
Clubhouse.
And it was basically pretty much the same thing, you know. It was Mbuyiseni Ndlozi, who's the national spokesperson. What did they call
him? People's Bay.
The People's Bay. So he repeated basically, and he called those in ZANPF a group of cowards who protect the president and who hypocritically defend him every day whilst harboring ambitions to lead soon. Yeah. This leads me to...
I have advice for ZANPF.
Yeah.
Just keep quiet,
because with EFF,
those guys have got all the energy.
I'm telling
you, all the resources.
You can go
and
on
have
until
all the
year
population and the whole of Africa to be telling the whole DSTV. A majority
you
of
can,
us are subscribed to those guys. We'll check
going.
Them out at 7:30 before 8 p.m. news.
But yeah, so I think also though is that Malema is trying to launch his friend Temba Mliswa, Honorable Temba Mliswa.
But Honorable Temba Mliswa is still in cahoots with his cousin. So
we're getting to
Honorable Temba Mliswa should tell his cousin.
Yes.
How then are you saying Malema is launching Temba?
No, in the sense that look,
radicalism, they share the same radicalism.
Temba is radical. Temba is tantramatic. No, there's a difference between that and being radical.
Let me explain is that Honorable Mliswa today at his presser came out and he said, you know, Julius and I are very good friends. Julius loves the president, but you know, he just thinks he's old and it's time for him to step down. However, the fever that the EFF has and what they've positioned themselves as, which is kingmakers in South African politics.
Mm-hmm.
So the EFF will get 8% of the vote, right? And the other two will sit around 43-44%. EFF decides who gets
you
to sit, right?
Very true.
And this is something that Temba Mliswa mentioned today at his presser, that what the third force is hoping to do is
going to resemble the EFF.
Exactly. He says, so if ZANU-PF gets 45% of the vote and MDC gets 30 and People First get 18%, none of them have a majority and the third force gets 7%.
That's the then determining the third force factor.
Comes in as that kingmaker in the position.
Mliswa, I just think that as long as you don't divorce yourself from the comrade Mnangagwa, we are not buying your store, right?
But at the end of the day,
it's a brilliant strategy. No, very good.
At the end of the day, are you going to divorce the whole third force from Mr. Mliswa? Because when you really look into the third force,
no, what
this is something that is really growing. I don't want to lie to you. And when you see it in 2018, like I was telling you before the whole podcast, that Mliswa is a foot soldier. You know, the structures that are there in Yard right now,
they are solid,
unbelievable in every constituency from what level. Shenda kumsoro. He's serious. He means business. But what's there now is that he knows the youth are power hungry. He knows the young people want to be included in the halls of power. And he has gotten the youth that he knows is a significant percentage of the population. And he knows that with that percentage in his hands, the election can be swung in this way or that.
Can I just say something on that?
Mm.
Yes, he might be having the conversation about the youth and it being a larger demographic. But then political will is a story that we need to talk about. One, two, we are not very dumb. I'm going to include myself in those youths because I think the strategy is beautiful. It's the same strategy that AC Lumumba was talking about. I'm sure it's a strategy that most people want to use. But as long as he himself, Themba Mliswa, does not denounce his ZANU-PF links, there is no way, even when he agreed that we need ZANU-PF to win.
Okay, wait, yeah, that's actually where I wanted to come to. So now you've said that he must denounce ZANU-PF.
He should,
right?
Because we don't believe. Can I say something? ZANU-PF as an institution is not something that is bad. I'll speak for myself. That's my perspective. Wait. As an institution, I've gone to school because of the policies His Excellency put there whilst in ZANU-PF. Zimbabweans are well known for being educated. I know that blah, 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 blah. I know it's obvious or whatever it is I want to say, but the institution is not a bad thing, but the drivers behind the institutions are the ones that need to be plucked out. As an institution, to be honest with you, Ka, the policies that they have, the land reform and all that not, is okay. But then the drivers behind the institution, they are the ones that we say have the road,
High five.
So
your own point.
So all I'm saying is Themba will not divorce himself from ZANU-PF.
Then ask who. No. 7%
look, he won Norton. He won Norton.
That's the problem. That because he won Norton he can win every time.
No, but he said you can't win an election without a component of ZANU-PF.
And the component that is addressing is the expelled cadets.
No, but number two also is he says that, and you've said this normally on the show, is that you are all ZANU-PF.
Everyone was once ZANU-PF.
And he says, he even says it himself. He's like, I have ZANU-PF in my DNA.
I'm one person. If there's a candidate, he has ZANU-PF in whichever province who's running for whatever public office or whatever it is, as long as the person is capable of discharging their duties, regardless of whether they are ZANU-PF, Zim First, or whatever it is, and I believe in their capabilities, even if they are ZANU-PF, I would vote for them.
Like Comrade Chinotimba.
Of course,
yeah, Chinotimba, but then I don't think he's a
look at Walter Mzembe. Let's not attack persons or personalities, but let's look at someone as
people
an individual, regardless of where they are coming from. We need ZANU-PF. There's some really...
We need individuals in ZANU-PF.
Malema spoke very well when he said that there are so many capable young comrades in ZANU-PF who can take the country forward, who can steer the country into a better place. And they are there.
Okay,
hence the United States is looking at Mnangagwa to take over.
So, speaking about... our honorable vice president, Mnangagwa, Professor Moyo had some not so kind words to say about him.
Sour grapes jokes.
he took to the private press and I called him out. I said, look, it's quite funny that you're found often in the private press these days, but you know, before when you were Minister of Information, you were quite instrumental in shutting them down. And then he replied and he says, yeah, hung up on the word or something about you have a funny definition of the word often and all sorts of nonsense. But as every politician, he skated the question.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he came out, he said, what did he say?
He does not. One thing I'll
He won't support Honorable Mnangagwa. He said there's no vacancy. He said that
that's true.
He did. He said it is not. ZANPF members have a ZANPF members don't have a constitutional or divine duty to support VP Mnangagwa's presidential ambitions.
Right now, 2018 is not here. He's right.
No, he is. Mm-hmm. He came out. He.
But then he kept on emphasizing on chinu, vanwanoti chinu chedu. That's the thing that kept on coming out.
He spoke about chinu chedu. Actually, it was in Nathaniel Maneru's column where he said chinevene vacho chinuichi. And he
it's
was
got
advising.
Its people.
Yeah, it's got its people, and he was telling. Yeah. He was advising Professor Moyo to stay out of factional politics and focus on his mandate as the Minister of Higher and Tertiary Education. And what he was saying is there is a space for, this is Nathaniel Maneru, there's a space for research into the history of this country, and Professor could make a big name for himself if he focused on his mandate as a minister and not worry about factional politics.
Okay. Firstly, I'd like to commend Jonathan Moyo for exercising his rights of freedom of expression and choice of affiliation and declaring that he doesn't like anyone. Well done to him. I mean, he has that right, and that is okay. And for people to suddenly assume that any day somebody can't take a break from his office when everybody else checks out of the office at 4:30 is totally unfair. I mean, he did say that he doesn't support Mnangagwa. If you really don't care, be unmoved. Isuzu, who care? We are very much ready to comment.
No, but do you know what?
The comrade feels strongly.
Do you know what my problem is? And he goes on and he also talks about... So Nathaniel Maneru is believed to be Comrade George Charamba, who is the president's press secretary.
And that's the person who's got the reins behind the Zim Papers titles these days.
I can't confirm that.
Are you related to Georgie?
He's my uncle.
Right.
he's my uncle. So I hope he's not listening right now. But he does come out and he attacks him and he says, "But who is George? Who is Charamba outside their mafia-like scheme, which he calls a scheme, successionist scheme? I don't believe Charamba's successionist outbursts on behalf of VP Mnangagwa represent President Mugabe in any way, shape, or form." You know, he goes on, and it's an attack on the vice president. It's an attack on the president's press secretary. Mm-hmm. My problem with it.
With Nathan's comment?
With
it's his opinion, though.
It is, however.
Okay, how problematic is it?
As a minister of government, right, you are putting out such an opinion on the office of the vice president, mm-hmm. perhaps not his office, which he says he respects because he's in that office. Mm-hmm. But you're putting such a statement out against the vice president of the country.
Of course.
How does it look in terms of the way the government is structured? It shows that we have a cabinet which is at war with each other. Because you have him saying these things about the vice president, you have him saying these things about the president's spokesperson, right? It shows that we have a cabinet which is not together, it's not united, and there's no way that this country will move forward when people are making statements. Do you know that Jonathan meets the president?
Very often for very long.
That's okay. They may have tea or whatever it is, but then this is more of an expose of how disintegrated our government is right now. Right now what's happening is, we are gearing up towards 2018 and things like this. I'm sorry to say this, but Jonathan is just being petty.
I don't think he's being petty.
No. Look at it. He spoke about the whole "I am the boss" mug thing going on. Like, he says no.
There was every part that mug.
At the time, he was the acting president, and the president was like out of the country. And then he has a mug written, and the people he was surrounding himself with, those people have been chucked out of ZANU-PF. Hey, you know, what does that mean? But I'm thinking,
legitimately, he was right.
He says this is a successionist like plot or whatever it is. But this is me. I like to plan ahead. I'm one person who always thinks to plan ahead to say, okay, fine, this is what I'm going to go with. But in the event that this doesn't work out, my plan B is going to be this. So they are planning ahead to say that, okay, fine. The Lacoste faction are saying, okay, Isuzu, we are springing. Mnangagwa is our candidate. That's the person we want. Mm-hmm. They are planning ahead. They are allowed to do that.
But then they are not allowed factionalism.
But at the same time now, Anditika, we can't say they should have him as president because His Excellency is going to be in office until 2018, and it's legitimate and that's constitutional, and we can't contest that unless and until, like you said, he resigns or retires or whatever it is, or he dies or something. But I'm just saying, for now, what's happening right now is that we have to wait for 2018. That's when people can start springing their candidates here and there.
Sorry, on a legitimate basis, I don't think Jonathan was out of range. One, two, the truth of the matter is that it's only Lacoste faction that's owning the existence of factionalism in ZANU PF, whilst everyone else, even G40, does not own that. Before I finish that, the reason why Zim People First is alive and was birthed was because people were thrown out of the party for factionalism. It then does not make sense why we haven't heard of Mnangagwa and his cohorts being thrown out for factionalism on the same basis, which is why Jonathan will continue to speak about it until they own the fact that they are causing some factional lines in the party.
No. Wait, listen.
In their party.
Let me put it out this way and say that as far as I'm concerned, I have no issue with succession issues, succession politics. Mm-hmm. It's a natural order of things. Right now, Chief Justice Chitgau Siku is set to step down in May, and there's factional politics happening amongst the Chief Justices
themselves.
The judges themselves. Yeah. They all want to aspire to that position. There's nothing wrong with wanting to aspire to that position. My issue comes down, and I have nothing wrong with Professor Moyo's opinions on the matter. He doesn't have to like Vice President Mnangagwa. That's fine.
He wasn't addressing him in his official capacity as Vice President.
I agree with that. But however, you have to respect that the fact that this is your Vice President, right? I might not like my boss at work or my superior, my supervisor.
There's something called soft diplomacy.
Yes, I'm not going to bring my issues out in front of the entire company and say...
How the corporate world works.
Listen, what I'm saying is I'm not going to write a memo and send it out to all employees, right? Yeah. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take it up to my superiors and deal with it at that level. This is a minister of government. This isn't an issue between...
It's not a domestic issue.
No, I've got a conspiracy theory.
It's not like a national issue.
Yeah, what I'm saying is this isn't an issue between political komiza of a youth league out in Berengwa who has to deal with the national chairperson, right? This is the Minister of Higher and Tertiary Education talking about the vice president of this country,
but they were talking about party politics.
They were, but you're doing it on a national platform. Take it to the party.
The fora that you used is
Take it to the party. What's wrong with taking it to your disciplinary committee?
Clearly
it
didn't work. Yeah.
No,
clearly it didn't work. Do you think he hasn't tried that? Unfortunately, we don't get central committee
and then now he
of
complains.
Politburo meetings.
Jonathan Moyo then complains to say that, you know, Mnangagwa is using his influence in terms of controlling the headlines, and I'm always being put out there, I'm always coming out since he was with I, But I'm just thinking, you know what? You are the very same person who misappropriated funds. Mnangagwa wasn't there when you did that and you bought your bicycles in Cholocho. But then now you want to put it on his lap and say, no, it's because he hates me, because I'm Ndebele and plus, factional wars. Hey, no. Own up to what you've done.
Let me say, for the record,
I'm not supporting Jonathan because I'm Ndebele too. Just for the record.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But let me flip it over and also say, however, that Nathaniel Maneru has come out and also attacked Professor in his column.
Yeah, if the professor loses the election in 2018, that's his career line.
He said some things about the professor in his column. He said when he was referring to these Chinuchedu or he spoke about, he called him a small boy and that sort of thing. I think it's very uncalled for. I think that you have to, at some level, speak about these things within the confines of your office. These guys meet every Tuesday in cabinet.
Like, why can't you do that every other Wednesday
in a Politburo? They are all there. They can sit down and say, look, Inini and Dukfarire, I don't like you because of this. You did this.
Let them do it so that we know we're not voting for them. Definitely.
So who are you voting for?
I haven't found the person, but I must say this.
So
I know who I'm not voting for.
2018 is a big question mark.
So
that's why we have you here.
For me, that's just the issue on that. We'll see how it plays out. Factional politics are definitely going to be with us for the rest of the year. I just hope that we want to move Zimbabwe forward.
Of course.
And as the Zimbabwean government, what the Zimbabwean government is too hung up on ZANU-PF factional issues to lead.
Yeah.
Because as Minister of Higher and Tertiary Education, as the Vice President, mm-hmm. as the President's spokesperson, you should be dealing with
and like
national
right now
issues.
There's something like there's so much going on that's affecting the electorate, the people who vote you into those public offices. There's typhoid, there's floods going on, and you are just bickering like little children. Something like you could easily just close the door at home and just hash each other out, hash it out there. More what would Marcus would put some Marcus a town no problem in your back when you are
sliding into hashtag she votes 2018. So, tell us, girl.
Yeah, no, so 2018 is where it's all leading to, yeah. Which is sad that we're spending this entire year focused on an election that is about 18 or so months away. But it is coming and it's going to be a very important election. Tariro has a campaign that she is a part of or leading. I'm not sure which one she'll explain to us now. It's called She Votes 2018.
Okay. So this is a campaign that we actually sat down with a couple of lady friends of mine, one of them being Maureen Kademaunga, mm-hmm. And Stabile and Varaizo and Virginia and Isabel. We are about seven ladies. We started an organization last year called Women for Women Solidarity, and this is an organization where we're advocating for a safe space for women who are actually participating in the political space. So we're saying women are afraid to come out and contest, or let's just say be toe-to-toe with men in politics because of being afraid of violence, because especially the violence factor. So we are working towards trying to create a safe space for women to actively participate in politics. So we then realized that now we're going towards 2018, mm-hmm. and we are looking at the young woman. The young woman, that's the young woman who's 35 years and below. And we are thinking, where does she fit in the electoral process? So we started realizing that, you know, when it comes to the electoral process, it seems as though when they say my youth, it's usually young men who are referred to. The woman is non-existent. When it comes to, if you look at the structure of a society, someone told me that it starts with the white man, the white woman, the black man, the black woman, mm-hmm. the black brother, and then the sister. The sister is non-existent, like she's not
oppression
there.
Hierarchy.
So when you look at it in that way, you then realize that we have so many capable women out there who actually anticipate to hold public office and steer the country into a better place, but they do not have like the support system that can actually springboard them to be where they want to be. And we also realize that there are young women out there who don't know anything about elections, who don't even know, okay, if I want to vote, what do I need to do? So we want to embark on a journey where we'll also tackle like giving electoral education to people on what you need to have, what you need to do, or whatever it is if you're a first-time voter. And we have targeted young people because we are young women, one, young women, and we said the young woman is in the periphery of things in everything. And if anything, we're expected to cook, to ululate, to make tea, to dance at, you know, all these political gatherings or whatever it is. If anything, we are the most significant or strongest support system that these men have who are in politics. But then what role are we playing? We are always in the periphery and it has to change.
So how are you going about your business?
Hey, so what do you get?
How we are going about our business is this year our calendar says that we want to go into all the provinces and speak to young women who either want to vote or run as candidates for 2018. So we speak to young women and give them the support system that they need, especially the ones who want to run as candidates for 2018, to say that we are with you, we are going to help you or incubate you or help you and empower you, because we hope that with the going of time, we'll have a political school for young women. We're trying to come up with something like that, whereby women who want to run for public office, because we realize that they may be capable, but then they are diamonds in the rough, and they need to be refined, like in terms of decorum and etiquette, and also in terms of what they need to know about how the system works.
Yeah.
So we want to empower them with that, to say that when they run as candidates, they run as capable young women who can take the country forward.
Okay, I have a question.
I know normally, so you've expressed your opinion about women in politics and how they especially young women. You spoke about it one of our earlier podcasts when we were speaking about
the first one. Yeah.
And you were saying how young women shy away from politics for various reasons. Thoughts on She Votes 2018?
She Votes 2018. I was so excited to see it. And I'm even more excited after she explained the idea, because it's been one of the things where I was strongly adamant about the fact that there's going to be so little that's going to be done to encourage the woman to stand. We are going to expect women who are very forceful and upfront coming come and stand without having to offer you the quota system and tell you, you guys have got 60 seats in parliament, go for it. There's more than 210 of you that want to run, the merrier.
But at the same time, I think we spoke about this before, where you said that I'm not supposed to vote for a woman just because she's a woman. She also needs to be capable.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, we are trying to groom a crop of young women who we give them the support system, like I said, and we empower them with what they don't know. Because I was really encouraged when we had 8 women standing up and saying they are running. From what level, to saying I want to be a counselor in my ward, to saying I want to run for this. And I was inspired. Women coming as far as Goromonzi, imagine, for our consultative forum, like our first one that we had.
And when was that?
We had this on the 17th of January. And about 100 and something women showed up. Hey. It could have been more because maybe of the rains, people didn't really show up the way we had anticipated. But in Bulawayo, we have been promised a great audience, like over 200 people are promising to come, and we are taking now. What we have done is we do not want people to come to us. We are going into the provinces. We are going there to the people and talking to young women and teaching them what they need to learn. And we also have accepted that we are not experts in all things. So when it comes to like teaching about, let's say, the biometric voter registration process, we actually called in ERC and they were there for our event, and they told people how the biometric system is going to work at a layman's like terms for the ordinary person to understand, because some people don't understand. I don't know if my fingerprint is going to be taken. So we needed to just demystify this whole thing and make it simple for the ordinary person to understand. And we'll also rope in people who are into peace building, because we have realized that the environment sometimes is not conducive for people to actually vote meaningfully. So we want that to change and for people to exercise their right to vote without coercion, without duress, and, you know.
I'm loving the idea. I just have one question. For the women that are standing and that the organization is offering support to, is it specifically to independently standing women or even women within specific political parties?
That's a very good question. What we have done is we have said, regardless of your political outfit, regardless of the political party you are aligned to, we extended invites to all political parties, actually. And we had women from the MDC, we had women from Zim People First, we had women who want to run as independent candidates.
Okay.
And we want it to be a women's thing. We don't care about your political party, but just as a woman, if you know you can take this country forward, regardless of whether you're in ZANU-PF or whatever it is, we'll give you the support system that you need.
I love that. Are you not afraid, though, that there is going to be influence played by the other political parties to try and coerce certain people to join in?
No. To be honest with you, at the end of the day, it's about your capabilities. Okay. Or if people are going to try to coerce one another and all that, some things are easy to see with time, because I also know that for our first consultative meeting, we even had women from the intelligence coming in. We know that they were there, but then we have nothing to hide. We are as transparent as we would want. If anything, we just want women to just stand up and be counted at the end of the day when it comes to electoral processes.
I have a question on funding.
Okay.
Because it's always
about
issue.
That.
Yeah, it always comes down to
that.
Yeah, how do you fund such an exercise?
I want to tell you something that you may not believe, but at the end of the day, it's your prerogative. We are non-partisan and we have no funding whatsoever. If anything, it's something that we are sacrificing from our pockets as the young women who came up with this. And we are making sacrifices. We are meeting people who are even donating for us, making banners for us, helping us with refreshments and all that. But it's not much. We have little. But we are working with the little that we have to say we are not looking for donor funding at all, to be honest with you. Because at the end of the day, there are some things you can do without funding. There's some things whereby you make the necessary sacrifices and things move. So that's what we are doing. Even going to Bulawayo right now, we were supposed to go on Friday. We have an activity Friday afternoon. You know, it's sacrifice. no one is making a lot of money, but tungounganidza pana nemota yake, tungounganidzawo kuti munhu anongosaka $50 takuenda kubrua.
So what are you targeting?
You are going to Wula.
Yes, Wula.
Yes.
Yes, that's where I grew up actually.
And you go brua.
Yes, and I learned the way like all my life I even wrote O level.
Yeah.
I kuluma a lot.
So what are you targeting as She Votes 2018?
What we are targeting is the demographic of young women who don't know about electoral processes, and we want to educate them, one. Two, we also want then to give the women who are running a support system as women to say that, you know what, don't be intimidated by the men who are able to buy alcohol and nyama for those boys who kumabawa to buy votes or whatever it is. An example is Sally Lura. She was our guest of honor for the event. She said, you know what, I was running to be the SRC president when I was still in college, and at the last minute, people deserted me. And I was like, how am I going to do this? But she did it. She's like, I just did it on my own. I worked overtime and I won and I became the SRC president. So she said, at the end of the day, it's not necessarily about resources, but ukanya so she strategizes zvakanaka. And she also said, you can't just wake up and just be in public office just like that. Mm-hmm. You need to put in the work. You need to make necessary sacrifices. And the way she spoke, she made it seem like, you know what, at the end of the day, it's not impossible, because some women are raising issues to say, inanamari, ndirimkadzomba, ndinemurume, asinini, I want to run. But then the problem is now, panana baba ningi, vatinozavari aligned to this political party, vakaenda kumabawa, vanotengera vanhu doro, vanotengera vanhu nyama, vanodindini. So at the end of the day, dini, what do I have to offer? And she said, look, I was able to woo people on what I am capable of. And people believed in me and voted me in. So it should be the same.
I think as well, maybe something that for the women out there who are looking to run, what you have most is a mother's care, which everyone, even any man on this earth, understands. And from what I hear, from what you're saying, I'm really hopeful that She Votes campaign will be one of those campaigns that is going to take it down and dirty to the streets and help at the very most need and come into play for you to convince you that a woman is probably the best person who can do the job. If you can manage your home without a man, or you can manage your home with a man who's not present, definitely you're going to be able to manage this country.
I was so inspired by a young lady who came all the way from Koromonzi. She used her own money.
Oh, that's
beautiful. You know, when she came after the event, she then came to me. She's like, you know what? I know I didn't waste my money. I really learned a lot, and I feel like I put my money where it's worth.
That's quite inspiring. thank you very much, Tari. Do you have any targets, though, in terms of numbers? Like, we want, I don't know what the percentages are, we want 60% of women to have registered to vote, or we want, there's 210 seats in parliament, we want to field 100. At least 150 or 210.
At the end of the day, I think we shouldn't try and work too much on the numbers. At the end of the day, it's women who are capable, even if we have four of them in there, but who are able to discharge their duties. That's enough.
Okay, thank you very much. I want to know how people can get in touch with you. If someone's listening, they're a female voter or a
female candidate,
aspiring female candidate, how do they get in touch with She Votes?
Actually,
where do they find you?
I'm actually the point person for the She Votes campaign. I'm actually the person who's responsible for their informations and other things. So it's just through my phone number. Should I like...
Your Facebook,
it, girl.
Your social media.
Your Facebook.
Where
social media is always safer.
They can get you on social media.
They can even get me on Facebook. It's okay. Yeah. Like,
what's
come to my
name?
Inbox, Tariro Daphne. Of course.
Twitter?
Yes, and then Twitter, I'm Tawana Tariro.
Tawana Tariro.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming, Tari. We'll definitely have you back on the show when Henry's around.
What are you saying? I'm sufficient replacement for Henry.
No, you were. I was getting to that, but you know. It was great. We want to have more contributors on the show to discuss some of the topics that we've discussed. So I know normally, so sometimes you might not be available today. I commandeered you. And thank you very much for joining me. You held your own. You owned Henry's spot. We might have to replace him. I hope he's listening.
Henry, I'm getting your job, man.
No, but thank you very much, ladies. It was quite interesting to hear some of the viewpoints on things that we discussed. You've been listening to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263. My name is Christopher Farai Charamba, at Chris Charamba on Twitter. You can catch us on at Beyond Poly ZW on Twitter. As I said at the beginning, we're now on iTunes. So go on to iTunes, search for Politics and Beyond, subscribe to the channel, like, write a review, tell us what you think, and share as well. Please do share on your Facebook, on your Twitter, on your Instagram, wherever you can.
You guys almost made it the whole episode without hearing my voice, but I clearly missed you, and I had to check in my 2 cents, which currently is about half a bond note. So yeah, Teriro, as you know how amazing she is, I'll just give you a bit of her CV, because we completely forgot. Well, I wasn't there, so I guess Chris forgot to ask her about herself. So yeah, she's a writer for online London-based paper, Calabash Media, which is pretty dope. They've got great humor on that site. Actually, is one of my favorite. She also writes for Open Parley. And now, Capital 263.